In Psalm 91, it says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust." Man, what an awesome thought as a child of God. When our enemy, the devil, is looking out for us and trying to destroy us and devour us, all we have to do is get close to the Savior, and He just puts us under His wings and protects us and provides for us and cares for us. And man, I'm glad I've got a Savior like that. His truth shall be my shield and buckler, it says. I don't need anything else as long as I've got Jesus. Amen. Under His wings. Boy, if I could, I'd have her sing it again, because my heart's blessed by that. And I don't care if yours is or not. Mine is. And I enjoy it. But it's good to have the opportunity to preach tonight. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. When you find it, if you would stand to your feet for the reading of the Word of God. And we're just going to read just one verse of our chapter tonight as a text. There are five other places in the Word of God where the phrase that we'll be preaching on is mentioned, but because I know everybody wants to go to watch the Super Bowl in a little bit, we'll just read this one. But in 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 9, it says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." I'd like to preach for a few moments this evening simply on the topic, peculiar people. Peculiar people. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, it sure is good to be in Your house. And Lord, I'm thankful tonight, Lord, that You gave Your Son, Jesus Christ, to pay my sin debt. Lord, to give me the gift of eternal life. And Lord, I'm thankful for tonight for the privilege to be called Your child. Lord, to be part of that royal priesthood, to be part of that chosen nation, to be part of that peculiar people that's mentioned here in this Scripture. And Father, Lord, I'm thankful tonight, Lord, that all I have to do when I'm afraid or in times of trouble is just run up under Your wings. And Lord, there You'll cover us, and Lord, we'll be safe. And Lord, I'm thankful for this safe place that You've given us tonight. Lord, just before the service, I was talking with some folks about missionaries in China and other parts of this world who don't have a safe place like this to preach the gospel and to serve You. But Lord, I'm thankful tonight that we have this great church to come to. Lord, You've been so good to us. I can't even begin to express my gratitude. And Lord, I just pray that tonight You'd use me as Your humble servant to be a blessing and an encouragement to this congregation. Lord, we thank You for all that they've meant to our family, all that they've done for us through these years. And Lord, we owe a great debt of gratitude to them. But Lord, I know that they would want You to receive all the glory, and Lord, so do we tonight. So Lord, do a work in our hearts, I pray. Use me and speak to each and every one of us that are here. And Lord, tonight, make us glad that we're a peculiar people. And Lord, we'll give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. We find the phrase in the Word of God, a peculiar people, mentioned several times in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5, Deuteronomy 14 and 2, Deuteronomy 26, 18, Titus 2, 14, and here in our text in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. And I was thinking about this thought here recently, and so I did a little research, and I do mean a little, because I don't like to do research, but I got a dictionary out to find out exactly what peculiar means. And as I got to looking at it, the Lord encouraged my heart, and I got to think, you know, that's exactly how we need to be as Christians. There are several definitions of the word peculiar. The first definition that I came across, it said strange or odd. And I thought, well, that could be the definition of me right there. Strange or odd, but as a Christian, we're peculiar because we are strange or odd. We're not, the world looks at us, at the Christian, and they see the habits of a Christian and the behaviors of a Christian, and it doesn't make sense to the world. And they look at us and say, man, that's a strange group. Strange because we're not living or supposed to be living after the lusts of the flesh. Strange because we like to read our Bible and pray and do all those things. And they go to church on Sunday morning and go to church on Super Bowl night. And they look at us and say, man, that's a strange group of people. But you know what? It doesn't bother me if you think I'm strange. I used to have a t-shirt and it said, you laugh because you think I'm ugly. And I laugh because I know you are. Amen? And it doesn't bother me if people think I'm strange. But Christians today, a lot of them, it does. We don't want to be looked at as strange. We want to fit in. We want to blend in. They're chameleon Christians or camouflage Christians. Just blending in with the world. Hey, we're a chosen generation, the scripture said. A royal priesthood, a peculiar people. That's different. Strange, but peculiar also meant, it meant uncommon or unusual. Uncommon or unusual. Hey, that means that we as Christians are out of the ordinary. We're special. There's not very many of us around. The Bible tells us that wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, but straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life everlasting, and few there be that find it. Hey, Christians that are sold out for God are uncommon. But you know what I thought about when I read that? I said, you know what? The more uncommon something is, the more valuable it is. The more rare something is, the more worth it has. And can I tell you tonight, a Christian that is sold out to God, that is a peculiar person, has great worth to God. And that's the way I want to be. The word peculiar also meant distinctive in nature or character from others. You have certain characteristics that stick out. Something about it, it just sets it apart from everything else. It's like a room full of paintings, and you look at those paintings, and we could go to an art museum, take the whole church, and go through, and we could take a poll after we got done and say, which was your favorite piece of art? And every one of us would probably pick, most of us would pick different things. Because there, to each individual, there was something specific and something distinct that stuck out about a certain piece of art. It was distinctive in nature. It set it apart from everything else. And to the eye of the beholder, that made it special. Can I tell you today that God looks down on the art gallery of earth and sees us as His children and sees us walking around, and He looks at us and He says, you know what, there's something distinctive about Brother Mayer, and that makes him special. There's something distinctive about Brother Becker. There's something distinctive about Pastor Zavosky. There's something distinctive, and there's something special about each one of us. I'm not Pastor Rich, and he's not me, and I'm not Brother Horst, and he's not me. We're each distinct in our own way, but that makes us special in the plan of God, in the purpose of God. We're a body, and we're not all the same, but if we work together, we can accomplish the task that the Lord has. And then I saw this and I got excited about this thought. The word peculiar, it means strange or odd, uncommon, unusual, distinctive in nature or character from others. But then I saw that it says it means that it belongs exclusively to some person. And I said, praise the Lord, I belong exclusively to God. I'm His and His alone. He's bought me with a price. He bought my soul. He bought my body with the blood of Jesus Christ. I belong to Him. That makes me peculiar. That makes me special tonight. And man, I got to thinking, we need some peculiar Christians. And let me give you a few reasons why tonight Christians are peculiar. The first reason we're peculiar is, number one, because we have a peculiar birth. A peculiar birth. In John chapter number 3, Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, how can I have eternal life? And Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus was confused and said, I'm a grown man. How can I enter my mother's womb and be born a second time? And Jesus said, no, Nicodemus, it's not a natural birth. He said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. He said, you must have a spiritual birth. And this spiritual birth is a peculiar birth. It's peculiar, number one, because it's by choice. It's by choice. I was born to Ed and Ladelia Heath on May 27th, 1978 at Sparrow Hospital in Lansing, Michigan. And you know what? I'm thankful for the family that I was born into and that I was born in America and that I was born in a Christian family. But I didn't choose the family that I would be born into in this life. I had no choice in the matter. I just had to accept it. But you know what? As a child of God, we get to choose to become a part of this family. Amen? We have the choice. God doesn't force us to become part of His family. He gives us the opportunity to choose the second birth. And that makes it special and peculiar. It's peculiar because it's a remembered birth. I don't remember the events of May 27th, 1978. I know I was born that day because, my mom remembers very well, and the doctors were there, and I've got a certain piece of paper that says I was born that day, but I don't remember it. My mind can't go back that far. But I tell you what, today I do remember the day that I was birthed into God's family. I remember it like it was yesterday, August 14th, 2003, assistant pastor in Columbus, Ohio, sinner on my way to hell. But God broke my heart and I accepted Christ as my Savior that day. And I remember it as clear as it was yesterday. I could almost sit down and give you a minute-by-minute account of that day and what took place. I remember it. Man, I'm glad today I can remember being born into God's family. We talk to some and say, do you know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven? They say, well, I'm a member of the church. And when I was a baby, I was baptized. And when I was young, I took catechism and all this type. And they claim all these things. And you know what? That baby that was baptized doesn't remember being baptized. I remember when I was born again. And no one can be saved without being born again. And if you are, you'll remember. You may not remember the exact day. Some don't. I understand that. But you know what? You ought to remember a time. I remember it's peculiar because it's by choice. It's because it's remembered. It's because when you are born the second time, you're born clean. I was there for the birth of both of my children. And when they were birthed, it was a pretty messy thing. It wasn't a pleasant sight at first. But praise the Lord, when we are born the second time, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Amen. We're made perfect in the image of Christ. It's a peculiar birth because it's by choice, it's remembered, and because we come out clean. Amen. We're peculiar, secondly, not only because of our peculiar birth, but because we have a peculiar book. We have a peculiar book. This Bible that we hold in our hand is different than any other book that's ever been penned. It's different because of its history. It's different because of its origin. It's different because of its eternality. It's different because it is powerful. It's a peculiar book. No other book in history has the origin that this book has because this one came from God. God used 40 different men to pen these scriptures, but everything that was written exactly as God told those men to write. It's God's word. You couldn't take 40 people anywhere in this world and have them sit down and write and take their writings and put them together and have it make any sense unless God is in it. God is in it. It's peculiar because it's a perfect book. And I believe it is with all my heart. It wasn't just perfect in its origin. I believe God has preserved it perfectly. I can say unashamedly tonight that I believe that the King James Bible is the inspired and inerrant Word of God. Perfectly preserved for the English-speaking people. But many today are diluting it and detracting from it and trying to destroy God's Word. We're peculiar because we have a peculiar book. And you know what? Those who take a stand for this book are becoming more and more peculiar. They're becoming more and more rare. They're becoming more and more odd. But we need to remember this is God's book. is peculiar because it records history before it happens. Amen. No other book can do that. Prophecy after prophecy after prophecy was written in the Word of God hundreds and even thousands of years before the events actually took place. And every last one of them has come true. Hundreds of prophecies were written concerning the second coming of Christ. And every one of them has been fulfilled except for one. And that's for that trumpet to sound. Amen. And then we'll be out of here. It records history before it happens. Hey, how can you be confident that the church is going to be raptured out of here like Pastor preached about this morning? Hey, I can be confident because the Bible says it's going to happen. And it's never been wrong yet. It's never been wrong yet. It's peculiar because it records history before it happens. It's peculiar because it tells the truth about men. It tells the truth about men. There's a lot of self-help books. There's a lot of books that you go to any bookstore and go to the self-help section and you'll find books in there that talk about how good men are and how much potential we have, and they try and build men up and, you know, all those type of things. And even preachers selling books, just based upon the fact that, hey, we're all good by nature. We're all good. Everybody's got good within them. And all you got to do is just tap into that and you can do great things. And you know what? The Bible is the only book that tells the truth about us. That we're wretched sinners. That sin has separated us from God. That we're born with a sin nature. And that in me, in our flesh, there dwells no good thing. That all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Hey, there's nobody good enough to get to heaven. There's nobody that's good in the eyes of God. We're all sinners. And you know what? The truth hurts sometimes, but it's the truth that'll set you free. Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Hey, you're never going to be born again until you're willing to admit, "I'm a sinner." Until you acknowledge that truth. And hey, there's no other book that's going to tell you that truth except the Bible. It's a peculiar book, and it's peculiar also because it gives life. It's the giver of life. It's the seed. It's the water. It brings forth life to all who receive it. It gives life everlasting. We're peculiar people because we have a peculiar birth. We have a peculiar book. Thirdly, because we have a peculiar behavior. Christians do some strange things. They really do. I mean, what kind of a person would even think about being in church? Hey, kickoff was 10 minutes ago, guys. And we're sitting here in church. What type of a strange person would do that? What type of a strange person would get up in the morning and before they do anything else, read their Bible and pray? What type of a strange person would go out on a freezing cold Saturday afternoon and knock on doors? What type of a strange person would go down to a prison house and spend all day talking to murderers and child molesters and thieves and all kinds of men who have done wicked things? What type of a strange person would leave their home behind and go down to a foreign country, a third world nation, and give up all the comforts of home? And Christians have a strange behavior. But we do those things because we love somebody we have never seen. And that's strange. That's strange. The world says, the world understands if you love somebody that you see all the time and you're attracted to them and, you know, all those type of things. But they can't understand why we love somebody that we've never seen before. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2 right here, in the passage we were starting in, verse number 6, it says, "Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." And here's what I want to look at in verse 7. "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious." That chief cornerstone we know is referring to Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us to those who believe on him, he is precious. He is loved. He is adored. He was rejected by the world. He was cast out. But God has set him up as the chief cornerstone. And we love him whom we have not seen. Jesus told Thomas, he said, "Thomas, you've seen and you've believed, but more blessed are they which have not seen and yet believed." Boy, it's strange to love somebody who you've never laid eyes on. It's not normal to do that, but that's why Christians behave the way they do. Because we serve and we love somebody we've never seen. We love to fellowship with other saints. We love to read the Bible and pray. We're willing to make sacrifices and give up pleasures. We tithe. Man, that's peculiar. I've had many people in prison, in churches, and just on the street, just talking about church and things. I've had the topics come up numbers of times about tithing. And they say, well, how can you tithe? How can you do without 10% of your income? How can you give all that up? Hey, that's strange to the world, but we do it because we know it's right, because it's commanded in the Scriptures, and because we love our Savior. We have a peculiar behavior. We're peculiar people because we have a peculiar birth, a book, peculiar behavior. And then fourthly, we're peculiar because we fight a peculiar battle. A peculiar battle. The Bible tells us we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's a normal battle. But against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. We're fighting a battle that cannot be seen with the eyes of men. And the world doesn't understand it. Therefore, we're peculiar. We have a peculiar enemy. We're fighting a battle against Satan as a roaring lion. 1 Peter 5:8 says he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. We're fighting a battle against this flesh. Paul said, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. He's warring against the flesh. He has to daily bring his body into subjections, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. We're fighting a battle against this wicked world. John chapter 15, Jesus told the disciples, hey, the world's going to hate you. But it only hates you because you're not one of them anymore. It only hates you when you were of the world, they loved you. But now that you're not of the world, they don't like you. They hate you, but they're not hating you. They hate me. He said, just go on. Keep on fighting the battle. Don't take it personally. We've got an enemy out there that's strong, that's trying to destroy us. But we have not just a peculiar enemy, but we have peculiar equipment. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not earthly. It's not a machine gun. It's not a tank. It's not a battleship that we fight with. They're not carnal, but they're mighty to God, through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. We fight our battle with the Word of God. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's like a hammer that breaks up the fallow ground. It's a fire that devours all that's in its path. We fight our battle through prayer. We fight our battle through fasting. We fight our battles just through obedience to God. It's strange equipment, but it's effective. It's strange equipment, but it gets the job done. It gets the job done. We have a peculiar battle because not just because of the enemy and the equipment, but we have a peculiar battle because of our imminent victory. It's guaranteed. Amen. We win. We win, so keep on fighting. It's hard. I know it's hard. Just keep on fighting because we win. Victory's been promised. Victory is guaranteed. Just keep on going for God. We're peculiar because of our peculiar birth, peculiar book, peculiar behavior, peculiar battle. And then we're peculiar people because we have a peculiar benefits. Peculiar benefits. Christians obtain blessings regularly that the lost will never see, will never have. Things happen to Christians day in and day out where God provides for them and God blesses them that a lost man will never experience. We have in Psalm chapter 68, verse number 19, it talks about how God daily loadeth us with benefits. It pays to be a Christian. It pays to serve God. There's benefits for service. One of the benefits is we have peace with God. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hey, that's a benefit a lost man doesn't have. That's a benefit that gives us salvation. That's a benefit that means when we stand before God in judgment, we don't face the wrath of God. We're not under condemnation, but we've received eternal life. That's the greatest of all benefits right there is peace with God. We have the benefit of the peace of God. The peace of God, Philippians 4, 6 through 7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hey, it's because we can run under the wings of our Savior that we can have peace in trials. It's because we can take our burdens before an almighty God, an all-powerful God, that we can have a calmness and peace in the midst of the hardest times of life. That's a great benefit of being a Christian. We have the benefit of the provision of God. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Psalm 37:25. David said, I've been young, now I'm old, have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Hey, that's a benefit the world doesn't have. A lost man doesn't have the promise of God's provision. But we do. We do. We've got peculiar benefits. We got the benefit of the power of God. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Man, that's a lot of good benefits. But they're peculiar because they're benefits that a lost man can't have. A lost man can't have until he first receives the first benefit, that is, of peace with God through salvation. And then, not only are we peculiar because of our birth, our book, our behavior, our battle, and our benefits, but we're peculiar tonight because we have a peculiar burden. Christians' burdens are not the same as a lost man. What is it that causes a missionary to go give up all that he has here to go to those foreign countries? The world doesn't understand that type of burden. See, a Christian's burden is not necessarily for themselves, but our burden is for the lost. We have a burden to reach a world that's dying and on their way to hell. And the world doesn't understand that. When we knock on a door, they don't understand why we're there. They don't have the burden to do that. When we pass out a gospel tract, they look at you funny like, what are you giving me this for? It's because of our burden. Because we want to see them saved. We know what awaits them if they die without Christ. And they don't understand that. We've got a peculiar burden. The world's burden is all about themselves. The world's burden is, how am I going to get this for me? And how am I going to do that for me? And I want this for me. And they work their whole life. Their only burden and care in life is taking care of themselves. But Christians are peculiar because they've got a burden for somebody besides themselves. And hey, you know what else? We're peculiar in our burdens because we've got somebody that will help share our burden. Amen? We never carry a burden alone. Whether it's a burden for souls or whether it's a personal need or a trial that we're going through, hey, we're never carrying it alone. You know what? I want to encourage you in your burden for souls to be faithful as a witness. And don't give up. Don't stop. Don't lose that burden. Just keep on being faithful to God. Keep on being obedient to God. Keep on sharing the gospel, because you never know. You never know when you're going to reap the harvest. You know, the harvest may not come while you're here to see it. It might not. There's an inmate who shared a testimony with us a while back. He got saved. It was on a Friday night. He got saved, and we saw him the next week, and he came to us broken and sad. He said, I went to call my mom on Saturday to tell her that I was saved. She'd been praying for me for years. She'd been witnessing to me for years, and I kept rejecting. And I wanted to call and share the good news, but I called home only to find out that my mom had passed away the day before. He said, all I wanted to do was share the testimony with my mother that I'd been saved. And I didn't get the opportunity to do it. My thoughts immediately went to that dear mother who for years had been witnessing to her son. And the Lord kind of gave me a thought, an idea, and I said, you know, maybe God took your mother home an hour before you got saved so that she could be one of those witnesses in heaven seeing it take place. I said, I promise you this, your mom knows that you got saved. I promise you that. You see, she didn't get to see it in this life, but because she was a faithful witness, she played a huge part in her son coming to know Christ because she had a burden. And it's a peculiar burden. It's a peculiar burden that's going to cause you to go out and start that bus route, Brother Boston. That's a strange burden. It's a peculiar burden that's going to cause a Sunday school teacher to dedicate their time to teaching those boys and girls. It's a peculiar burden, but it's a precious burden. There's promises that are given. He that goeth forth and weepeth, that's the burden, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Hey, when we're obedient to God, he is going to give us a reward. Amen. We'll see fruit for our labor, souls added to the kingdom of God. I don't know about you tonight, but I want to be peculiar for God. It's okay if you think I'm strange. Wally and I went down to Coldwater Correctional Facility, Crane Correctional Facility today to do a volunteer orientation to get our badges so that we can go in on a regular basis and not have to go through a whole bunch of stuff every time we go. And we were pulling out, and I looked over, and on the front bumper of, there was a bug shield on the hood of a truck there. And on there, he had a little sticker, an emblem. It said, Hardcore Jesus Freak. And I thought, there's a guy who's peculiar and not ashamed of it. He's not ashamed to be called a child of God. I'm not. I don't want to be ashamed either. Let's take a stand for Christ. He says, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. Why? That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I like verse 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have attained mercy. Hey, I don't mind being peculiar for God because I was a nobody, but now I'm somebody. I had nothing, but now I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I don't mind taking a stand for God. Let's be peculiar tonight, church. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for the...